In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is really the entire gospel reading, but in particular these words. It says, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is our text. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Each of our scripture readings this morning speaks about and teaches about faith, and held before us as a prime example of faith is Abram, a man whose name later was expanded to Abraham. What a man of faith was Abram. When God revealed himself to him in whatever way it was that he did, Abram promptly did what God commanded him to do. He gathered his wife, his nephew, all that they had, and he left. He left his relatives, his friends, neighbors, his community. He left his religion. Maybe you didn't know that Abram lived among people who worshipped many gods. The chief god that they worshipped was the moon god called Sin. Abram left everything. And he left it all to travel to... He didn't know. We're just told God promised that he would show him the land and bless him. So he leaves. Abram trusted God and just left. That is faith. And I'll bet this caused problems with his family and relatives that he left behind. They would talk. They would wonder, well, why did he leave? Who is this God that he said appeared to him? Does he think that he's better than us? That's why this God chose him? Abram didn't claim to be better, and he didn't forget his relatives. Many years later, after he and Sarah had had a son, Isaac, when Isaac was grown, Abram sent a servant back to Haran, the land of his relatives, to find for him a wife from among them. And years after that, Abram's grandson, Jacob, he himself went there. He found two wives, sisters. And all of the people of Israel were descended from the 12 sons that Jacob had. Faith and family. They were important to Abram, and they remained important for his descendants after him, for the people of Israel. Who are you descended from? What do you know about your family? These are the kind of questions that would be regular topics for discussion, for argument. And you know, when you think about it, are we that different from those Jewish people of old? How often is family a topic of discussion, either at gatherings or before or after gatherings? You know, who said what? What he or she said or did, even years ago. Oh, how we can be concerned with these kind of things. and how they can be issues for years. They can unite and they can divide us. Well, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they were students of the Bible, careful followers of God's law. They were also concerned then with family, with who you were descended from, and especially with how faithful they were, how faithful your relatives and you are. And so, when Nicodemus, and we are told he was a Pharisee, when he came to Jesus, first he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And he would have expected Jesus to acknowledge the wisdom of his insight, and then probably enter into a discussion with Nicodemus of this wisdom and of things like family connections, Jesus' own in particular. Forget it! That's in essence how Jesus responds to Nicodemus. Shocking response. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus credits Nicodemus with nothing. No wisdom. He's not worried about his family connections, his status as a Pharisee, his heritage. None of that mattered. Would bring him closer to God. And what he said to Nicodemus is true for every one of us also. Doesn't matter. Maybe your Lutheran roots go way back. That doesn't bring you closer to God. Nor does your wisdom, even your knowledge of the Bible. In fact, we are blind to God's presence and his work. We are dead to God until he gives us life. Unless one is born again, Jesus says, literally born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As God alone creates life in the womb, and you can't take credit then for your own life, nor can you take credit for the womb in which you were conceived, for the family that you came from. Well, even so, God alone can give us life with him and enable us then to see Jesus and his work. So what is faith? Faith isn't your wise decision in choosing Jesus as your God, one that you made after weighing the options and saying, "Well, he's the best one." Faith is not you opening your heart to Jesus, inviting him to come and share his love for you and bless you. Faith is clinging to and crying out to God as your life, like a baby clings to and cries out to its mother. Faith is listening to and following God as your good father, a father who loves you and supports you and leads you. As a child, as he grows, listens to and follows his father. Faith is life. Life given by God and then lived out by you. How can this be? Nicodemus asks. Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He gets the impossibility of Jesus' blunt statement about being born again, but he doesn't get really what it's all about. How can he? How could you? How could I be born into and live in God's kingdom? Well, seeing as, since he compares it to birth, we had nothing to do with our first birth, the one from our mothers. Well, to get what Jesus is driving at in his words to Nicodemus, we need a little background. Nicodemus's background. He was a Pharisee. Pharisees were critical watchers and examiners of people, and especially of religious people and religious leaders. When John the Baptist came on the scene, a new religious leader proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God, coming soon, the Pharisees were very interested. They went out to see John, to listen to his preaching. They observed his baptizing. They asked him questions. They debated with him. They refused to be baptized by him. We don't need it. We are already righteous, God's obedient ones. But John had been sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus, for the kingdom of God that Jesus was bringing. And God himself declared this when Jesus went to John and was baptized. For then the heavens were open and the Father spoke, proclaiming Jesus to be his Son, witnessing to him, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him. And it was that event that Jesus is really pointing to when he says to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, the water and Spirit of his own baptism, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Look to my baptism, Nicodemus, is what Jesus was saying. God's kingdom is now in Jesus, in his baptism. Because it was there that the Father gave him to us sinners. It was in that event that he joined Jesus to all those other sinners being baptized by John. And being joined to sinners, his baptism would ultimately lead to his death on the cross. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave into death his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's baptism. Christ's, and then yours into him. That's where God's kingdom in Christ comes. It's where God brings us forth into life with his Son. It's where he gives the birth into eternal life. And so to see, to be a part of God's kingdom in Christ, you are to be baptized into Christ. That's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. Faith is then nothing other than living the baptized life. And because we are baptized into the one who went to the cross and then rose from the dead, our baptism is into his death and resurrection. And that means faith is dying and rising. God will work to put to death in you everything that is sinful, all sinful desires, all that is evil, and raise you up a new person. And this is not going to be easy. As Abram was called to leave everything and go to where God would show him, so for us, we are called to leave behind anything and everything that would hinder us on our journey to heaven. The promise is, your God is with you to bless you and make you into a new person throughout this whole process. Faith holds on to this, and so receives God's blessing in Christ. Baptized into Christ, you're a member of his family. His Father is your Father. The Holy Spirit, who came down upon him in his baptism, came down upon you in your baptism. And as the Spirit strengthened Jesus to finally go even to the cross and then brought him forth to life again in his resurrection, so the Holy Spirit will strengthen you as you live your life of faith in Christ, and he will finally bring you home through death to your resurrection with your Savior, bring you to your eternal home with your Father in heaven. How can these things be? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God will do it. Believe this. He has done it in his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen.